Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
All right, let's get into the Word of God. I'm excited, really, about this moment to share the Word. So I'd like to share this on a screen as just a reminder that if you miss church service or if you miss Bible study, you can go to our YouTube page. You can see that up on the screen there to get caught up. So please, if you miss it, don't just miss it and say, I'll catch it next time I come. You may be a little behind by the time. So Purpose Church DE is our YouTube page. Please go out there so you can get caught up. All right. I am going to ask you guys probably to say a few things today to help me preach. So if y'all can say this nice and loud, like you believe it, say, I am anointed.
I am anointed.
All right. That was cool. That was good. That was good. Y'all sound like y'all believe it. Or y'all just said it because I prepped y'all to say that. All right, prepped you. Yeah, yeah. So let me try one more time. So if you believe that you are anointed, and you might be like, I don't even know what that means. If you can say this one more time, say, I am anointed. Amen. So let's talk about that. As we read this scripture here, I know this is Jesus saying it, and if you were here last week, this is kind of where we stop, but I want us to make this personal. It's pretty big on the screen. I was going to say, can y'all read it with me? So I'm going to ask you guys to read this verse of scripture with me. But I want you not just to read it through the lens of this is what Jesus said when he was in the synagogue, but read it as if Jesus has now, he's gone to heaven, which is true, right? He sent back his Holy Spirit. We as believers received the Holy Spirit, which is true. So now we are in that seat, which is true. And so if we can read Luke 4:18, this is in the New King James Version. Can we read this together? All right, let's read it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Woo, that's heavy. So I encourage you, whether you want to take a picture, write the scripture down, that throughout this week, own it. Own it. And again, I know this is Jesus decreeing this. And that, in fact, the prophet Isaiah said it first. Then Jesus stood up, right? Then he said it. And now we as believers of Christ, we're grabbing it and we're saying it and we're walking in it as well. And so I encourage us to own this throughout the week. What I really want to deal with is this first part, and we'll see if we can get to the rest of the parts. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do what? So here's the question. What has God anointed you to do that you know you cannot do it unless God is working in your life? You know what? But that's where we should be in every area of our life. Even the simple things in my life, I should be, God, I need you. But sometimes, can we be honest? Like, anybody ever say, Lord, please, you might, please, 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 Lord, help me to wash these dishes. I need, somebody say yes, I need your anointing to help me to wash these dishes because I really don't want to do them, right? But sometimes the simple things, we don't invite God to work in our life and to help us with it. But really, every area of our life, we should be inviting the Spirit of the Lord to be operating in our life to be able to do it. Why? Because when we enter those moments where we're not familiar with him moving, because he is moving in the practical areas of my life, now I recognize when he wants to move in the complicated areas of my life. So if I don't make it a habit for God to move in my life, then when it becomes complicated, I don't know how to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. Make it normal to be led by God. As believers of Jesus Christ, we're not talking about people that don't have a relationship with God. That's foreign to them. But as believers of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells on, bless you, on the inside of us. Bless you. Oh, Lord. All right. Bless y'all. The Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. So what has God anointed us to do that we know we need the Holy Spirit working in our life? Think of that area right now. There may be a specific area. Even though we want every area, there may be a very particular area of your life that right now you're saying, God, I need you to work. I need you to give me wisdom. I need you to give me insight. I need you to give me strength. I need your might and your power in this area. I cannot do this on my own. In fact, I don't want to do it on my own. Sometimes we got to get to that point. I really don't want to do this on my own. Why would I want to do it on my own? Why would you try to want to make a relationship work without God's help? And why would you try to work on a job without God's help? Why would you try to pay bills without God's help? Why would you try to take care of your health without God's help? I think of it this way, like we leave so much on the table. It's like we step out and we're like, God, I'll be back. I'm going to go handle this myself. And God is saying, I am with you and I want to help you in every area of your life. Amen? So reset. Reset. I invite you into every area of my life right now, God, in Jesus' name. So look, this area of being anointed, to anoint here, we see the Greek word. So unlike the ceremonial oil of the Old Covenant, so in the Old Testament, when maybe David, I'll use David as an example, when he was being anointed king, they would take the oil and they would pour the oil over him. And it was a moment representing that this person was being set apart to do a work for God. In the new covenant, which means after Jesus came, he died and he rose from the dead, he sent the Holy Spirit. So now when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, we are anointed. And this is the reason why earlier I was saying this, say I am anointed. You can say that if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, and actually Christ means Messiah, anointed one. So we almost got a double whammy. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, if you're a believer, you are set apart to do a work for God. There is no need for a special ceremony to pronounce to you that you are set apart to do something special for God. If you have God in your life, he has set you apart already to do a special work. Amen? So if you were waiting for something, I'm announcing it to you right now on whatever day it is, February the 22nd, 2026. The Lord has anointed you, and you finish the rest of the sentence, to do. You now have permission to move and do whatever it is, but you had the permission the moment you received Christ. Amen? There is a percentage of people in here right now. You're waiting for something. You're waiting for something. You're waiting for something to happen. And God is saying it happened already when you receive Christ. Amen? You are anointed. So that anointing, it empowers us. It gives us the ability to tell people about Jesus Christ. It also gives us this discernment, where we need the ability to be able to judge between what is right and wrong, what is truth and what is a lie. You have that ability. And sometimes people are like, you know what? I feel like, you know, and it is a spiritual gift called discernment. But some people say, I feel like I got the spirit of discernment upon my life. You got the Holy Spirit, so therefore you got an anointing. Therefore, you have discernment. It's deep, but it's not that deep. It came with the package. So if you step into a room and you're beginning to sense that something, you know, you're kind of like your antennas is going off, like something going on here. It's like, oh man, this must be the Holy Spirit like moving in my life. Hey, it's part of the package. Every believer should have a sense of discernment. Every one of us. Now, the spiritual gift gets to the next level, but discernment comes with the anointing. Are y'all with me? Endurance. Come on. Anybody need endurance? Woo! Give me endurance, Lord Jesus. Guess what? You got it. You got it. So with the anointing, because you have the Holy Spirit, you are anointed. You have the ability to endure whatever it is that you are going through in your life. See, these are things that you can confess to yourself when you feel as if you don't have it. I am empowered to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I do have the ability to judge and make the right decisions in my life. I do have the ability to endure through this situation. And then the final piece is the gifts of the Holy Spirit that comes because the Holy Spirit is within us. Amen. So you are anointed. Just in case you were wondering, you are anointed. Praise God. We are anointed because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Why am I putting this up here? Because sometimes in this religion that we call Christianity, sometimes we feel like, no, you gotta work for the anointing. You gotta tarry for the anointing. You got to go through some stuff for the anointing. You've got to be crushed for the anointing. You've got all this different stuff. The olive, and if you guys ever heard of it, the oil comes from the olive, and you go through periods of crushing in your life and pain and all of that. The moment the Holy Spirit comes in your life, you are anointed. So don't think that you got to work. If you got to work for it, we talked about this in the class earlier, then it's not a gift. If I'm working, Lord, I pray that your anointing operates in my life. Or God, send your, I've said this, Lord, send your anointing. We should be saying, Lord, let your anointing come upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Lord, it's as if we're kind of like, Lord, send your anointing as if he's far. He's right within us. Amen. I pray that you are getting this. So when you go home today, walk in the anointing. So what does that mean? Bottom part. Walk in the fact that God has empowered you, given you the ability to represent him here on this earth. Tell people about him. Walk in the fact that you have the ability to recognize or discern between right and wrong. Walk in the fact that you can endure in this situation. And walk in the fact that the gifts of the Holy Spirit can flow through your life. Praise God. Amen. The Holy Spirit is upon us. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. Now the Holy Spirit wants to work in my life because God has anointed me to do something. The Holy Spirit is not just in our life just to hang out with us. Praise God, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. He is the counselor and all of that. But there is a work that the Holy Spirit wants us to do. And that's where God wants us to get. It's not just, God, I need your peace, but I pray that your spirit give me peace. Praise God for that. But also, can we pray a prayer? God, I need for you to move in my life by your spirit. Amen? So, we are already anointed to do the work that God has called us to do. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is within us. I know I said that probably three different ways, but I pray that you received it three different ways. Amen. In this area here, already talked about it. So again, this verse is not just about Jesus. We've got to make this personal. It's like, wow, that scripture. Yeah. But Jesus at one point to his disciples, he says, greater works shall you do. It's like, Jesus, like you raised Lazarus from the dead. You walked on water. But so did Peter. What greater works is God calling us to do? But you know what? We cannot do greater until we are able to receive what he did. So I can't just jump on the scene and say, God, use me. But I have no idea how God used Jesus. And this is the reason why it's important to read the Gospels. How did Jesus live his life? And how did the Holy Spirit move in his life? So that we can begin to recognize that in our life as well. So Luke 4:18 is not just about Jesus. It is also about us. So I want to read the scripture here. Because sometimes you may be like, well, show me in the Bible where it says that I'm anointed. I'm so glad y'all asked, right? Y'all so glad. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 in the Amplified Classic Edition. But it is God who confirms and makes us steadfast and establishes us in joint fellowship. It's as if I'm talking to y'all right now. In joint fellowship with you. So I'm in joint fellowship with you. But the reason why I'm in joint fellowship with you is because we're all in Christ. And I'm gonna pull the beginning part down here. And it is God who has consecrated and anointed us, enduing or empowering us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you read that in the New King James Version, King James Version, it's just simple that it says, it is God who anointed us in Christ. So if there is any ounce of you that says, I'm not anointed, the scripture just said that you are anointed. Amen. I feel like I'm in a court case. I rest my case. Come, you know, like that's it. And really the Bible, a lot of times, that's what it is. You know why? Because who is the accuser of the brethren? Satan, right? So there's many times that it feels as if we are on the judgment stand. You can't do that. You can't do the work that God is calling you to do. You can't do that. Don't you remember what you just did last night? Everybody just keep looking at me real slow. Don't move. Don't you remember how you just acted the other day? This is the accuser, right? You disqualified yourself to do the work that God wants you to do. This is the accuser. But Jesus comes, and this is the reason why we reflect on when in communion. Jesus comes and says, well, the reality is I paid for all of that with my blood. Because he redeemed us from the penalty of sin. So that means that whatever the wages was of sin that was supposed to come our way eternally I'm talking, Jesus paid for it. Now, if I go do something, can I just say stupid, that I'm going to reap what I sow. As Paul said, shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So I shouldn't just be living my life any old type of way because I feel like, well, Jesus paid it all. It's like a child that's like, well, I know I'm gonna mess up the house, but my parents, they good. They got a lot of money. Or I know I'm gonna get locked up for this, but I know my dad got a lot of money so he can get me out of jail. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. Because he died for me, I try my best to live my life right before him. I don't want to be rescued from something that I knew I shouldn't have been doing. I want to live my life as best as possible in the will of God. But if I mess up, he will forgive me. Amen? So don't let our own conscience which condemns us sometimes and beats us up the most. Sometimes we think it's the enemy that's condemning us. Sometimes, if you clear the smoke, it is us telling us, you. And it's just us. So what we got to do is pull up the word of God. It says, Lord, forgive me for doing what I know I shouldn't have done. I pray that you will forgive me of it, God, and help me. I talked about this probably a few months ago. Help me as I repent and turn away from that. Sometimes we'll say, well, hold on, I need to beat myself up a little bit more. And that's not right. That's not right. We had a mentor, they used to say, admit it, quit it, forget it, and move on. If I did something wrong, I did it. Own it. Own it. Have you ever prayed and tried to hide your sin from God? Lord, I pray that you'll help me throughout this day. Give me the strength. But you know over here, you should say, God, I pray that you'll help me throughout this day. I know I messed up. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I ask you to forgive me. Now, and I pray that you help me as I move forward. Admit it. And then say, God, I repent of that. Quit it. God forgot it. And I know it's hard for us to forget it. But he threw it into the sea of forgetfulness. But we love holding on to it. So if you're here today, is there something that you did that you've got such a strong grip on it that it has an imprint on it? That even if the Holy Spirit tried to deliver you from it, you would wrestle with it. Not because it's a struggle in your flesh. You feel like you need it because you like need this to be right with God or something. It's this twisted mindset that I'm no good. Stop. You are in right standing with God if you are a believer of Jesus Christ. So please, whoever that is in here, stop saying, I ain't no good. I ain't never been no good. I'll never be no good. Stop. And that's not the devil saying that to you. It's you. So the next time you want to say, I ain't no good, you say, I'm in right standing with God. You say, God loves me. Don't nobody love me. Hey, but God loves me. And I'm working on loving myself more. Like, you got to keep moving forward. I hope that somebody hears this. Stop waddling in your own emotions. And you are a child of God. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you and is trying to move you forward. And you are literally making confessions over your life that you are no good, that you'll never be loved. And this thing called being anointed, you just like, man, that ain't for me. And it's as if God is trying to hit you and you keep dodging it. That ain't for me. Too late, it's for you. Amen? So you are anointed. Now, verse 22. He has also appropriated and acknowledged us as his by putting his seal upon us and giving us his Holy Spirit, where? In our hearts. As the security and deposit and guarantee of the fulfillment of his promise. So here it is, court case. Show me in scripture where it says the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Boom. Oh, it's back here for y'all. Boom. What's the argument? It's the word. Read it in King James Version if you want to. English Standard Version, whatever, read it in the Message Bible if you want. But it's the same thing. So what does that mean? That means that the Holy Spirit, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God comes and dwells within your heart. This is not the physical heart. This is the soul. This is our intellect. This is what we just call our mind, our will, and our emotions. That means that right in the middle of decisions we make, the Holy Spirit has snuggled right in there. Right in the middle of feelings that we have, the Holy Spirit is right in the middle of there. Right in decisions that we, our will, our desires, the Holy Spirit is right in the middle of there. It's like your mind, your will, and your emotions are sitting on a three-seater couch. And the Holy Spirit, you ever sit on a couch and somebody trying to squeeze in there? That's like the Holy Spirit, like, I'm right here. And you cannot get rid of me. So why? You might as well include me in your conversation. So your mind says to your desires, like, we shouldn't be doing that. Your desires say, but you know, it feel good. And then our emotion says, yeah, don't you know it feel good? And the Holy Spirit is right in there like, don't, y'all. Pray, read your Bible, call your brother or sister. Get up, run. The Holy Spirit is like an umpire and is blowing whistles right in the midst of our soul. Right in the midst of our decisions, the Holy Spirit is so active right there. And believe me, it is speaking to us all the time. Unless we get to the point where we tend to ignore it so much, we become numb to the presence or the move of the Holy Spirit. But you, here's love. I won't stop knocking. That's God. I won't stop knocking. John 3:16, right? God loves us so much. He's saying, I want you to have eternal life. That's the seal of the promise. But God, just pulling up the scripture to tie in, love won't stop knocking. God is love. God will never stop knocking and nudging and saying, I want to spend time with you. And you are right. And you are anointed. And you are good. And you are awesome. God will not stop. Even if we try to turn a deaf ear. You know why? Because He is love. Amen. And so I want to stop there today. Can y'all say it? I am anointed. I have the ability, because of the Holy Spirit, to do whatever it is that God needs me to do. And whether it's something extravagant or He is leading me to exercise, that can be extravagant as well. Not minimizing that. But the normal things that we do, God has anointed you to do whatever He needs for you to do. Amen. We wanted to cut it short today due to the weather. So if you've heard me preach, you know I got more slides, right? But I want to stop here. But I think this is a good place to stop. But if you guys can think of the imagery behind that, our thoughts, the way we think, so that's our mind, our will, what is our desires, and our emotions is our soul. And it says that the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts or our soul. And that means that the Holy Spirit is right there. He's not apart. He's right there, y'all. That could be scary for some people, like, dang! Does that mean you know what I'm thinking? Yeah, y'all. I mean that you know my desires and emotions. Yeah, but it's not scary. It's wonderful. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in His love, and live out His purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.